My heart is, and my mind is open to your word. I receive your word with clarity. There's no error in this atmosphere. I receive as I ought to receive. I behold Christ from the word. From the written word, he's glorified, and I'm edified. Amen. Glory to God. So we started 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago on the topic believers' conduct. So this is week 7. Okay? Matthew 28, quickly. You know, just like yesterday, we're going to be a bit fast. Matthew 28, verse 19 into 20, believers' conduct. Verse 18, rather. It said, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we said, this is a shorthand for what? The name of Jesus, right? He said, verse 20, I said, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. We're going to base on verse 20, but let's look at what he says. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go therefore, hallelujah, and make disciples. Meaning, remember, during our teaching, understanding, you understand it? Okay, understanding believers' authority. Yes, that's true. We said, the authority of Christ is exercised in the what? Raising of disciples, right? He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. So, that authority of Christ is to what? Make disciples. Hallelujah. The word disciples, we've always known, as I've always said, the word matitio, to make disciples, is the word that means to school people. It's from the Greek word matitio. It means to school one, to raise students. Is used for how you raise someone from being a pupil to becoming a scholar. You know what I mean? So it's that word. It's gotten from the root word metano. Metano is where we get the word matites from. That is the noun for a student. There's one who learns. Hallelujah. One who learns by instruction. We'll find cross references in Matthew chapter 13. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now take note of what he said. He said, go make disciples of every nation. He now said in verse 23, verse 20 rather, how to make those disciples. He said, teaching them. Now remember, we said that word teaching is the word didasco. Hallelujah. The act of explaining is the Greek word didasco. Now it says, go teaching them. So the way you make disciples is to teach them. Now what will you be teaching them? Jesus said it. Hallelujah. That is the word didasco. Listen, the word didasco, to teach. Now, the word didasco is from the word didache. Didache, which means it implies the mode of teaching. How what is taught is being taught. Hallelujah. The mode of teaching. You'll find that word used for Jesus Christ in Matthew 7 verse 28. After it was on teaching from chapter 5 into chapter 6 into chapter 7. Now, the Bible says the Pharisees and those that were there were surprised. The Bible said they were astonished at his didache, at his teaching. That's the word didache there. At his teaching, at his mode of explaining. How we explain. Remember, in the series, Concept of Righteousness, we said Jesus would explain Moses, right? Or the words of Jesus were what Moses spoke of. Hallelujah. So we'll find Jesus explaining what Moses had written. John 5:45. He said, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. He said, for he wrote of me. Do you understand me? So we'll find Jesus giving explanation to the words of Moses. So he taught. Do you understand me? He taught. And the way he taught was why they were astonished. Because these guys were scholars of the same scriptures. Do you understand me? These were the Pharisees. They were the custodians of the Torah. Do you understand me? For you to be a Pharisee, you must know the Torah by heart. Do you understand? So they were concerned of the Torah, but the way Jesus explained, do you understand? They were astonished at his didache, at his teaching. Now, when they use the word didache, it means the mode in which he communicated it. Hallelujah. So how would Jesus now communicate? Luke chapter 24, quickly. Let's see that. When he resurrected. Luke 24, verse 25. So, meaning, since Moses wrote about him, the explanation of the scriptures will be, or Jesus will explain the scriptures around himself. Luke 24:25. Are you there? If you're there, read. He says, and he said to them, O foolish one, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. He said, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, meaning Jesus was going to teach them. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, we saw that that was for a space of 40 days, he taught them. And I say, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. The word expounded is the Greek word diamenu. He explained. That's where we get the word exegesis from. He explained, cutting through the scriptures from Moses to all the prophets. That would be from Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. He explained in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. So for him to be the Messiah, for him to be the Christ, he must explain the scriptures as concerning himself. You understand me? So, and that is exactly what Moses did. Because in John chapter 5 verse 39, let's look at that. John 5 39. I want to lay a foundation for what I want to say today. John 5 39. Are you in verse 39? If you're there, I'll read. It says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. Material to bear witness. Hallelujah. To bear joint witness. Now he said the scripture bears witness of me. He now goes to verse 45. Now says, he said, do not think I shall accuse you before the Father. There's one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you've believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Do you understand me? So that means the words of Christ and the words of Moses will be the same. There will be no contradictions. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So if Christ will be saying anything different from what Moses has said, that means he's not the Christ, right? Because he said, for Moses wrote, spoke of me. Do you understand me? So, meaning his explanation will not be surrounding himself as the Christ. Do you understand me? So this is why they were astonished at his teaching. Why? Because they were men of what? Hardened hearts. Matthew 19 verse 8. Moses because of the hardness of your heart. So they were men of unbelief. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So they will not interpret it the way Christ would do. Hallelujah. Did you get that? He is the Word. Hallelujah. He is the Word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Back to that Matthew chapter 28 again. He says, teaching them to observe. Meaning, number one, the teaching will be Christ-centered, right? Right? The teaching will be Christ-centered. The teaching will not be around money or man's desire. It will be Christ-centered. Hallelujah. You know, we said it yesterday, the church is where you come to learn Christ, not money. You know, where you come to learn business. Aha. Glory to God. It's where you come to learn Christ. Learn more about Christ and who you are in Him. Glory to God. Now, Matthew 28, quickly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, it says, teaching them to observe. That word observe is the word which means to look closely. That's the Greek word, to look at something closely, as though when you blink your eyes, it seems going to disappear. That is to say, it talks about the attention you place. Hallelujah. So, the teaching will be to observe. Hallelujah. To observe all things that I've commanded you. And he said, lo, see, I am with you. Now, meaning, what they would observe is what Christ with them, right? Now, that word with you will be translated in you, right? We've done that study before, right? What it means is, lo, I am in you. John chapter 14. Let me look at John 14 quickly. Let's establish that quick. Again, John 14. Okay? Let's not assume. There's no assumption in Bible study. Okay, John 14, are you there? Okay. It says, let your heart, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe God, believe in me also.
In my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go prepare a place for you. You don't expect me to be seeing to discuss this again. In my father's house are many mansions. The word mansion there is the word mone. It's the word that means rooms.
Hallelujah.
It's just something very logical. You cannot say you have a mansion inside the house. Is it possible? So when you carry the Nigerian mentality into scriptures, you have. So the word mansion is the word mone.
It means rooms. Hallelujah. So let's just read ahead. We have messages on that already. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. That word means where I am is, no, it's not, we will stand beside. No, no, no. It means the present place where I am, that is where you will be. Do you understand? That means it talks about identification. Do you understand me? Is that you say where I am is where you will be also. Hallelujah. That is identification. We are in Him. Glory to God. Look at verse 7. Okay, no, 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 no. Verse 18, let's just run through. So verse 18, he said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Did he say that? I will come to you. Verse 19, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. And that at that day, when you hear at that day, is it a particular day or the day of the new birth? The new birth. Hallelujah. Say, at that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. Did you see that? Glory to God. Verse 21. Okay, let's jump to verse 23. He said, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone... Oh, sorry. Okay. He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father, man, he will keep my words will be... Is it faith in God? Is that faith in God? Is that faith in God? Okay. He will keep my word. That will be a salvation. He will keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he tells us something. The with us is actually where? In us. So when he says, teaching them to observe, that's what? I am in you. So in, I know something here. I said, the teaching of the church will be focused on the fact that Christ dwells in the believer. You understand me? The teaching of the church will be focused on the fact that Christ dwells in the believer. Very important. Any teaching that portrays Christ outside the believer is not a teaching of God. It's not a teaching of Christ. It's not a teaching of the scriptures. You understand? Any teaching that shows Christ outside the believer is not the doctrine of Christ. Hallelujah. So he lives in us. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, this is why, this is why in 1 Timothy, Paul will now say, chapter 3, verses 14, 1 Timothy 3, 14. Say, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. Hallelujah. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Remember, listen. Remember, the child of God, he said, if we say the Spirit of God dwells in him, right? Now, that word dwells in us is the word mone. Right? I said that a place where somebody abides forever. It's an abiding place where somebody stays. Okay. Now that automatically means the believer houses God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Quickly. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Put your hands in that first Timothy. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Quickly. He says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you? Whom you have from God, you are not your own. So meaning the believer, the Spirit of God dwells in the believer. Hallelujah. So the child of God, the believer becomes the permanent home address of God. Hallelujah. Did you get that? The believer becomes the permanent home address of God. Hallelujah. So, just the same way, next week, on Saturday, we'll be discussing something related to this. We're discussing immortality and eternal damnation. We'll discuss that. Hallelujah. We'll discuss that if we make sure you are around and make sure you come in to learn. Hallelujah. We're going to look at that holistically. What it means when Jesus talks about, I know I'm actually, I'm going off of it. I say that because of what I'm saying now.
you will find it as light on that next week Saturday. Now, when Jesus says, he who does not believe stands condemned already, when you hear words like a place of damnation of teeth, so that we would explore that, hallelujah, very well, and we'll understand. And then we'll look at the wrath of God. When you hear the wrath of God, what does it mean? Do you understand? We'll look at all that too next week. Hallelujah. So the church is the Bible school. So the believer houses God. Do you understand me? The believer is the house of God. So Paul will now write in 1 Timothy, I write that you will know how you ought to conduct yourself. It says, in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He now calls the house of God, he calls it the church of the living God. That's the word church, as we said, is the word ecclesia. Hallelujah. A called out one, a called out people. Hallelujah. Now, we went through scripture and we stated the fact that the church does not refer to a building. Never in the Bible was a church referred to as a building. But the small man is talking about, I'll keep hammering it. The church is not a building. The church, when the word church is, when a typical Jew hear the word church, the first thing that comes to his mind is what? Egypt. And they are coming out of Egypt. Which will symbolize Colossians 1:13. In the light he has delivered us out of darkness. Do you understand me? And has translated us, and he has translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. Do you understand me? A typical Jew, when he hears the word church, he will, what comes to his mind again will be what? The gathering in the wilderness. Act of Apostles chapter 7. Do you understand? So the church refers to the gathering of believers. Do you understand? So when believers gather, that gathering is called church. It's called ecclesia. Do you understand? We called out once. Now, the reason why we can be called the church of Christ is because why? Because the Spirit of God dwells in us. Hallelujah. It's because of the indwelling of the Spirit at the new birth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So our identification with him makes us the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we are the church. Say, I'm the church.
I'm the church.
Hallelujah. And together we are the church.
Together we are the church.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we said things like, he is the head of the church, meaning Christ is the head of the church. He is the head of the church. We use the word universal church, right? We use the word universal church. So he's the head of the church. Now, being the head of the church, meaning in his words and his action, we will find instruction for our believers' conduct. Do you understand? So what Paul was dealing with in 1 Timothy chapter 3 was actually the conduct of when they come together. Do you understand? Is the conduct when they come together, how they ought to conduct themselves. Do you understand me? And before now, he just finished talking about what? How to choose leaders. Do you understand me? So in that day, you should know how you ought to conduct yourself in the church of God. Hallelujah. So, we are now saying, in the words of Christ, you will find instructions. And in his conduct, you find instructions for believers' conduct. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So our conduct when we come together will be our conduct individually. And we've looked at the conduct of prayer, and we're looking at the conduct where? Love, right? Okay. Let's just state facts. Let's state some things we've said earlier on in this study. We said the law is summarized into two. Right? We said the law is summarized into two. When Jesus was told, have you come to abolish the law? He said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to what? To fulfill it. Right? The word to fulfill is the word to summarize. It's the word plero. Right? I come to summarize it, to explain it. Hallelujah. So, Jesus in Matthew 22, will now say, they came and in. He was asked, what is that great commandment of the law? Matthew 22, verse 34. Quickly, Matthew 22, verse 34. Matthew 22, verse 34. Okay, let me just jump to verse 35. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto the first, meaning the second takes its preeminence from the first. And what is the second? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we said something yesterday when we discussed fervency in service. We said a man who has not received salvation and goes ahead to love his neighbor, he's only doing charity. He's not recognized, right? It is recognized by God in salvation. Do you understand that?
Aha.
Glory to God. In salvation. So, he said the second is like unto the first. Meaning the second takes its preeminence from the first. The deuteros is like unto the proton. Meaning the fourth is the model for the second.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So he said, the second is, so we now said, the first one, which is, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, is the word, it just summarizes it as faith in God. So if I go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, or Exodus chapter 20, when I see the law, the Torah, the Ten Commandments, it is divided into two, which is what? Faith in God and love towards all men. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Where would Jesus quote from? He's quoting from Moses. When he said when he said you shall love the Lord your God, he's quoting Moses. He's quoting Deuteronomy. He's quoting Deuteronomy. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Deuteronomy. You quote Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Shall love the Lord your God. And then the second quote on the fourth. Where will he quote from again? He will quote from Leviticus and Deuteronomy also. Glory to God. Love all men. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this will not be, this will not be Christ's instructions to his disciples in John chapter 15. If you love me, keep my commandment. So we saw from John's account, from John's epistle, that the commandment is what? 1 John chapter 3. Let's look at that. Verse 22. 1 John 3, 22. John is explaining what he wrote in 1 John chapter 15. You see, keep my commandment, keep my commandment. You have to know whether which of them. Is it the love towards all men or the faith in God? You see that he spoke about the two in John 15. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Let's say verse 22. Sorry. Okay, yes, verse 22 into 23. Let's just look at verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love others as he gave us commandment. Did you see that? So we'll find the two, faith in God and love to all men. Hallelujah. In taking note, the love to all men is what? Taking preeminence somewhere, faith in God, right? Okay, hallelujah. Did you get that? So this is what will now be the more, this is the way the prophets will write. Hallelujah. This is where they will write. You'll find this also in the writings of Moses. Hallelujah. And how they will now write. The epistles too will write this way. But in the epistles written to believers, we said that last week, right? Last week was prayer retreat. Epistles written to believers. You would find now, because the believers are as believers, we have faith in God already, right? We have faith in God already, right? So the believer, the epistles written to believers. We differentiated that. There are the epistles written to believers. The epistles that were just blank. Do you understand that? Now, you will find, you'll find it categorized into two also. Because we have believed, you will now find fact. We will find fact about our identification with Christ fully stated. Do you understand? You'll find fact about our identification with Christ fully stated. This fact will include the works of Christ. Hallelujah. And we in him. Do you understand? Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you will also find instructions on believers' walk in the Spirit. You find instructions on believers' walk in the Spirit, which is what? Walking in love. You find it too in the epistles. You find instruction for believers' conduct. Where would the epistles explain this from? Where? The Old Testament are from the words of Christ, right? The epistles will explain it from where? The Old Testament, which is the scriptures. Remember, Paul will say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, say, all scripture, all graphy is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. Or is profitable, or Philemos,
profitable for doctrine, for teaching. So the teaching in the epistles will be from where? The scriptures and the words of Christ. Hallelujah. Did you get that?
Okay, let's go ahead. So we started looking at Paul. Romans 13. Don't worry. By sometimes in the year, or when we look at the book of Romans, the day we will study it, we'll do chapterization. Hallelujah. You see what I'm telling you about. Hallelujah. But if you look at chapter 1 to chapter 10 from Romans, let me just give you the
nutshell. Let me just read it in the nutshell. From chapter 1 to chapter 10,
you find informations, or Paul will teach.
You'll find informations from Paul's teaching on our identification. Paul is stating the fact of our faith in God from chapter 1 to 10. The fact of our faith in God.
Then,
I don't want to do this characterization. Then,
let's just stop there. Let's not go beyond that. I'll skip that one for another day. Hallelujah. So you find those facts there within chapter 1 to 10. And then you find instructions on believers' conduct in the preceding chapters. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 13. We're looking at Paul. Romans 13. How Paul taught the walking law. Romans 13. Are you there? We were here yesterday, but we'll kick off from there today again. Romans 13, verses 8. He said, "Owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law." When he says, "Owe no man anything," that is verse 8, right? We established the fact last 2 weeks that when he says, "Owe no man anything," he's not referring to money.
When you say "oh no man anything," that word, when you see the word "oh no man," that word "man" there, let's fight for the word on the word "man." Don't look at that word "oh." It refers to a debt. What is owed to someone, right? I remember we said you read the Bible in context, right? You don't just, if you take the Bible, if you take scripture, from, if you take a word or a verse from the scripture out of context, eh? You have killed it. It's not killed as in you've made, you know, you've killed it. That is, you've taken it out of its source, out of its life. It becomes vulnerable. It's men that want to perpetrate evil that will do that. A scripture will not mean today what it never meant yesterday. So the words here will mean the same thing it meant last 10 years, last 1 million years. Do you understand? So it remains the same. Do you understand? So that means there's no place for personal revelation. We know that already. Just explain what you have there. So when he says, "Oh, no man, anything," let's read in context. What is he talking about? And in context from chapter 8, we saw that when he says, "Oh, no man, anything," he's referring to what? Verse 12. 8:12, he said, "Brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh." Hallelujah. So when he says, "Oh, no man, anything," he's referring to what? The flesh. Do you understand me? To the flesh. So, the next verse will help us. The next statement will be very vital. Say, "For." The next word will help us. "Oh, no one anything except to love." Did you see that? One another. So, when you hear him introduce the word "except to love one another," we established something yesterday, that the word "to love," to walk in love, is to walk in the Spirit. Right? So, what Paul has been explaining from chapter 8, if you read it into chapter 13, the man who is reading it would see. And when he says, "Oh, no man, anything," is referring to what? Walk not in the flesh. Do you understand me? So, it's a call to walk in the Spirit. He now said, "For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not," we looked at this last week too, "you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder." That is the second part of the Exodus 20. Paul calls it, is summed up, is fulfilled, plero, right? It's summed up in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Say, love does no harm. I mean, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment, the summary of the law. Glory to God. So, meaning, if I look at what Moses wrote about, in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus, in Exodus, I must see it with the lenses of what? Love. Did you see that? Hallelujah. I'm walking it. Or I must see it in the lenses of the epistles, which is love. That is what Jesus showed us. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus will now explain, you shall not, love your enemies. Jesus will explain, love your neighbors and hate those and hate your enemies. He will not explain it as love your enemies and pray for those who constantly persecute you. Jesus didn't contradict Moses. No, he only just expounded Moses. Hallelujah. He expounded Moses because he took their attention away from an individual being their enemy to the enemy, the real enemy of the believer, who is what? The devil. Do you understand? So, did you get that? So their mindset was, if you read Deuteronomy, if you read the scripture verse, their mindset of who their enemy was, was the Amorite, the Moabite, they're dead. Which we saw that last 2 weeks. Hallelujah. So Jesus will now expound their narrative, right? Expound that narrative of enemy and take it away from an individual and place it on the devil. Do you understand me? So he will now tell them, love that person you think is your enemy. Do you understand that? Ha. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So look at, let's go ahead, verse 11. It says, and do this knowing that the time, we explained this yesterday, and do this knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. Say, the night is fast spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. We saw this yesterday. So you have to get the message yesterday. And put on, that word to put on is the word enduo. Hallelujah. It shows one's consciousness. It's the same word used in Luke chapter 24. It said, you shall be endued, right? With the spirit from on high. When you hear the word from with the spirit from on high, it's not referring to something coming. No. That word endued shows one's effort. So when he said you shall be endued with the spirit from on high, the on high is referring to where the believer is. Because those guys are already believers. Do you understand? It refers to where the believer is in Christ. That's our right standing with him. So when he says from on high, it means from within. Glory to God. Get that message. The Holy Spirit, our reality is there. Get the message and listen to it. You see, it is well explained. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So he says, he uses the word endure in verse 12. You also see that in verse 14. Now, when he uses the word endure, we said that yesterday that it is a prompting to walk in the Spirit. When he says the night is fast, but the night is fast and is not trouble, issues of life. The night fast is referring to what? The works of darkness. Look at verse 13, is there. Hallelujah. Did you see that? It's there. Let us walk properly. Let us walk honestly. That is also, he's telling them, it's a call to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the laws. So when he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh, automatically, Galatians 5:23 should come to your mind. Galatians 5:16. Hallelujah. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you understand that? In Romans chapter 8, he says, by the Spirit, he said what? You put to death the deeds of the flesh. Meaning, what God does in salvation is that he kills self. Hallelujah. Does God kill? Yes. What does he kill? Self. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, the believer is now told to walk in the light of what his salvation, which is what to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he says put on Christ, the phrase will be to walk in the Spirit. I've said that. Which is to walk in love. Galatians 5:16. Let's look at it. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. Quickly. Galatians 5:16. Then I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's look at that. He said, when you say walk in the spirit, you shall not fulfill. That word fulfill is the Greek word talio. T-A-L-E-O. Talio. It's the word that means to complete or to carry out. So he said, walk in the spirit. I guess it's amplified. I use that word. And you shall not carry out the desires of the flesh, right? One of those translations is that shall not carry out the desires of the flesh. So that word fulfill is not talio, which implies to carry out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the walk in the spirit. Permit my grammar. The walk in the spirit is the not carrying out the desires of the flesh. The walk in the spirit kills flesh. Kills the desires of the flesh. Hallelujah. Very important. The walk in the spirit. It kills the desires of the flesh. So when it says walk in the spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. It's just very simple. Hallelujah. Did you get that? You don't carry out the lust of the flesh. Romans chapter 8. Let's go back to Romans. Let's go back to Romans. Let's quickly rush to Romans. You don't carry out, meaning when a man walk in the spirit, you automatically, let's just look at Romans 8. Let's explain for Romans 8 verse 12. Verse 12. He said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live. Now what live is the word zao. Z-A-O. Zao. It implies to exist. Now, verse 13 says, but if you live according to the flesh, you need to understand this. When you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you would live. What is Paul saying? You know, if you just jump into it like that, you might get... saying, but you have to read, you know, Paul would have expected you to read from chapter 1 till now, so that you understand the gist. But I will help you out a bit. Let's go to verse 9. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, now, it says, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now, that word, if, is not a conditional word. It's a word in the Greek that means because. Do you understand? It's a word that means implies because. So it's not a conditional statement. It's not a statement of maybe. No. It's what that means because. So let's read that. It said you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Because indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Do you understand me? So meaning we are in the spirit because the spirit of God dwells in us. Do you understand me? Now that would be a consonant, or that would be in the same. Or that would be the same of what he told the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. That we receive the spirit that is of God. Hallelujah. So we are in the spirit. Then in verse 15 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he calls us spiritual by reason of what? The indwelling of the spirit. Hallelujah. In chapter 6, he says we are the house of the spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So he will say this to us because, and then call us spiritual. Who is us, the believers? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we are spiritual. Now he has said this, that we are in the spirit. Now let's now read that into verses 13. He said, well, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Hallelujah. When you look at the word put to death, is the Greek word thanato. T-H-E-N-A-T-O-O. Is what that means to kill. Thanato. Thanato. Remember my language. Thanato. It means to kill. It means to stop from oppression. Take that. It means to stop from oppression.
if by the Spirit you keep, did you see that? You keep by the Spirit. Okay?
Okay, it's making sense now, right? Right? Okay? You kill the deeds of the flesh. And let's look at the word deeds.
That word deed is the Greek word praxis. Praxis. P-R-A-X-I-S. Praxis. It means the practice of, the function. It means the practice, it implies the practice or the function. Now, what he's saying is,
let's read that into verse 39. If by the, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That is, by the Spirit, you kill the practice of the body, you live. Is it making better sense?
Is it making better sense? Okay. So, by the Spirit, you kill the functions of the flesh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why are you doing that? You are only living in the you are living in the reality of who you are. Because in chapter 6, verse 4, go back to chapter 6.
Did you see the way we are reading back? To explain what is in front, we are going back to see it. Right? Look at chapter 6, verse 4. He said, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Now, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too should walk in newness of life. Now, to walk in the newness of life is to walk in the Spirit. Did you see that?
Glory to God.
So, he now says, we were therefore buried with him by baptism unto death. That is, at salvation, we died with him. At salvation, we died with him. And by walking in the Spirit, the deeds of the flesh are killed. The practice of the flesh are killed. Just like the desires of the flesh are killed by the Spirit. Did you see that? So this will now form, okay, rounding up now. So this will now form what Paul will now tell them in chapter 12. You know, when we get to chapter 12, we begin to see our role. Do you understand? Our role. Look at chapter 12. Based on what we've read, Paul will now tell them in chapter 12. He said, I beseech you, verse 1. Let me just look at, let's look at verse 1. We said this yesterday. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the message of God, that you present your bodies. Now, when he said present your bodies, he's talking about the totality of your being to God as a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is Hallelujah. Which is your reasonable service. Now, he tells them that they should, verse 9. Let me just, there are some things I want to say now, but I can't say it now, based on what I will teach later, that I don't mix it up. Hallelujah. There are some things I want to say now, but it's not in my notes, I cannot say it. So permit me. Only teach what is inside here. Glory to God. Okay. Verse 9. He now goes ahead to tell them in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Dissimulation in the Old King James. It is the word that means anopocratis. Anopocritos. Anopocritos. It is a compound word. It means without sentiment. Without sentiment. It implies
without sentiment. Let love be without sentiment.
Without I love this, I don't know. Let love be without sentiment.
You know, this is what John, this is what James will teach.
Hallelujah. James will teach similar thing in James. Hallelujah. We'll teach it in James and we'll say how you should treat people. Hallelujah. Let's go to James quickly. Okay, verses 1. Say, my burden, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord of glory with partiality. Did you see that? Do not hold the faith of the Lord with partiality. For if they could come into your assembly, a man, he's not explaining that. So it's not a salvation he's talking about here. So he's explaining it in verse 2, right? Verse 2. For if, you know, if James chapter 2, verse 1. You know, if somebody is not taught contextual reading, you just say, faith believe in God. Control R, replace. Find faith, put salvation. No. You have to read in context to understand. Hallelujah. Now he goes in verse 2 to say, for if they should come into your assembly, a man with gold ring and fine apparel, and they should come in, a poor man with filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing in fine clothes, and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and to the poor man, you stand there, or sit at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality amongst yourself, and become judges with evil thoughts? That is love with... Did you see that? Hallelujah. Did you see that? Did you see? All the apostles spoke about our conduct. Let love be without partiality. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Look at what he now says in verse 8. Paul.
Why are thou? James. Not Paul.
You cannot love scripture and not love Paul.
Glory to God. James,
you're the one that said it.
Okay, look at what James will call the law of Moses. That law of Moses. Have you ever shouted, the law is God?
We're no longer in the law.
Look at what he called the law. Look at verse 8.
Paul, remember, Paul will say, call it the perfect law of liberty. Right? Paul will call the law of Moses the perfect law of liberty. Now, look at what he calls. He said, if you really fulfill the royal law.
Sweet. Right? Is it not sounding sweet here? You cannot see this one and you say, the law.
Hallelujah. None of you have been coming around for meetings. You've been coming around for meetings. You've heard us teach about the law and the concept of righteousness. All these series, are you still afraid of the law? You now see, I want to look at it well, right? Right? Now I want to look at it critically, the law. When you hear the law, when you hear the law, you know, Pentecostals.
I'm not calling anybody, but I'm not one. Hallelujah. I've never been born there.
I was born in Far Anglican. Far. So I'm not even born there. Pentecostals. We know that. Hey! Like I was discussing with some brethren before prayer meeting.
I'll share with you. I'll discuss with some brethren. Not her brethren. My brethren.
So while we're discussing, had I mentioned the law? That is why sometimes you have to be careful. You have to be quiet to learn. And I say, yes! I just say, you know the law. I say, yes, the law is God.
I say, bro, calm down. Let me talk.
Say, the law is God.
You see, the law is God.
When I now spoke,
no, like, are you sure? I say, is this our Bible now? Then I say, is this our Bible now? And I saw, oh boy, Jesus quoted the law. Not true. In fact, 99% of the words of Jesus is a response to people. 99.99% the response was from Moses and the prophets. You understand? So Jesus did not formulate his word. He used what was already written in the scripture because he is the word. He is that word spoken of by the prophet. You understand? So it is his words. Those prophets borrowed it before him. You understand? So these are his words. You understand?
So he will not be the one borrowing the word. It's those prophets that borrowed it. Do you understand that? It's his word, because he is the word. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he said, let it be without partiality. He will now call it the royal law. Look at that verse 8. The royal law, according to the scripture. Say, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. You do well. So love becomes our emblem. Because our emblem, let love be without partiality. How do you treat that brother?
You know, it becomes our lifestyle. Even how people relate in the natural with people. Love will just become our... It's not our light. It's not our path. We just love.
Why do we love?
Because it's the character of our spirit.
To love is to walk in your own. Do you know what I mean? Hallelujah. Yes, glory to God. Let's go back to Romans. We have our rounding off. We are not branching again. Let's dwell with Paul. Let's dwell with Paul. Paul. I guess Pastor Wisdom will give us another poem for Paul. Paul.
You know, when I read that poem, I was like, Charles Wisdom.
It's just because me, I just didn't compose. It's just because me, I cannot compose poem. I don't compose plenty.
No, just sometimes when I'm studying, and you know, that little time to meditate, I'm just thinking, Paul. How I love Paul. Hallelujah. When you want to call, someone says, just say, drop off. Hallelujah. You can't be a lover of the scripture and not love Paul. Hallelujah.
No, you can't. Except you are partial yourself. That is partiality. Hallelujah. There's a pastor that saw how. Glory to God. Okay. Glory to God. Okay. Where are we? We say we are going back to Paul. Right? We left James' house. We're in Paul's house now. Romans chapter 12, right? So let's just round up quickly on this today. And we'll look at other things next week. On believers' conduct. We'll be looking at our conduct in honor.
Honor. Hallelujah. How we conduct ourselves in honor. Now verses, chapter 12, verses, verse 9, right? Look at verse 10. He said, be kindly affectionate to one another. Kindly affectionate.
Ephesians 4:32, and be a kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another.
Forgiving one another. You know, the way you forgive people, how easy you forgive people shows how you walk in love.
How easy you forgive people shows how you walk in love, shows how you walk in the spirit. You understand me? How easy is it for you to forgive him? You say, then I forgive. You know, our act of forgiveness to one another portrays what Christ has done for us. Hallelujah. So we forgive. Hallelujah. It's our act, it's our attitude. Hallelujah. It's a sign of love. Say that. I forgive you, but I don't forget.
You have a problem. I forgive you, but I will not forget. Some people will now carry that kind of nonsense attitude. Now bring it to God. Now say, God forgive and not forget. Are you okay?
How can you say that goes on in God? Say he forgives and not forget. The codeine that is holding you. See the impressor. Because he uses the word aphesis. That's the word for forgiveness. Aphesis means to completely wipe out without trace.
You now have the mind to now say, God forgives and not forgets. God remembers your your own if he was remembering.
That is if he was remembering. No, he does not remember.
Say, your sins and iniquity I will remember no more. This is essential. Okay. May I forgive you, but sin is sky in my heart. You know, ladies have that issue too much.
Hallelujah. Have that issue. It's an issue. Hallelujah. I'm not actually hitting anybody in the flesh. No, 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 no. Look at my heart.
Very clean. But you know, forgiveness is our character. It's our character. Hallelujah. The one I think you have to be the man carrying him by half. Look at that. Forgiveness is our character. Forgiving one another.
How easy, if a brother offends you, how easy is it for you to forgive? So people will not be in the point of forgiveness. The man of God, I will forgive you, but he must come and say, I'm sorry.
Are you fine?
Let it go.
Hallelujah. Say, man of God, you don't understand. You're not in my shoes. Go and be my father. You understand?
You have to understand the fact, the truth. You have to understand the truth. Forgiveness is our character. Say, forgiveness is my character.
Forgiveness is my character.
Say, I forgive easily.
I forgive easily.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is Ephesians 4:32. Be a kind one to another, forgiving one another. Even as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Meaning our forgiveness is to mirror what Christ has done. Do you understand? So it is our working love. So our forgiveness mirrors. Ephesians 4:32. Let's go down there quickly. Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32. It says, and be a kind one to another, tender-hearted. Say, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Meaning, our forgiveness is to mirror that. Now, look at what he now said in verse 5. In that forgiveness, what he did not say, he said, be an imitator of God as dear children. Did you see that? Then, verse 2 now say, and walk in love. So, what he's telling you is a walk in love. Then, I walk in love. As Christ also loved us. And has given himself to us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma.
So our forgiveness is the walk in love. And it mirrors Christ's walk. You know what I mean? So for the believer, Christ's walk, his identification with Christ's walk will make him walk, will make him do, or will make him practice. Let me put it like this. For a believer, our identification with Christ's work will produce in us the work in the Spirit. Do you understand me? Will produce in us the work in the Spirit. And Jesus said, that's what Christ has done. Our identification with him will not mirror it in our conduct. Will not mirror Christ's work in our conduct to men, to believers. Hallelujah. Paul will not tell any church at Galatia. He said, do good, except to do of the household. So we mirror it in our work, in our conduct. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he said, walk in love in chapter 5, verse 2. That is what he's telling. What is he telling them? Walk in the Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now let's jump down to walk in love. Back to Romans. These days I'm just loving Romans everywhere. I don't know why. Okay, Romans chapter 12 again. Let's look at it. Says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. That word brotherly love is the word Philadelphia. Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Okay, it's a word from two words. It's a compound word, philo, which is to show affection. Is for the word philo, which is to show affection, and another word, which is what? Adelphos. Adelphos is the combination of these two words. So it's the word philo adelphos. The word adelphos means
brother. It means the word used for brother. for people who are from the same source, from the same womb.
And when he said, let the brotherly love continue,
it means let the love among brethren continue.
Hallelujah. So, brotherly love will mean a love or affection that exists between brethren or brothers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So, it's a love that exists between brethren or brothers. I said, let it continue. Let's go down to, then if you now look at verse 21, he now tells you, okay, he now goes ahead to teach. He now says, do not overcome, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is that, overcome evil with good.
What is he telling you? He's telling you, see, he's telling you that your conduct,
the way you react to things will not be the way men have given it to you. Your reaction to things will be what? Because of what? What Christ has done to you. Do you understand? So, you don't pay back evil for evil. No. That is to the man in the world.